Welcome to the Misha Rauser Show. I'm Misha, an organizational psychologist, and I'll be taking you down a path towards achieving professional success while still having fun. For over a decade, I have been guiding individuals and organizations through professional transitions. The goal this hour is to help you, your business, or organization create a successful, engaging atmosphere without sacrificing a positive culture. So, let's get started. Hello, everybody. I'm Misha. Welcome to my show, and thank you for listening. Again, this show is about leadership and professional development. Everything you need to know to be more competent and confident in your professional life. Things like communication skills, personal productivity, leading without authority, emotional intelligence, and more. By listening each week, you will acquire unique tools and gain exposure to proven tips and wisdom to help you in your professional development. So again, with our live shows, we are live every Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock. If you are listening to this live, you are welcome to call in. That phone number is 888-298-5569. Also, though, if you would like to listen to these shows, the pre-recorded shows, I do put all of them on my website, and that website is MishaRauser.com. Again, that's Misha Rauser, MishaRouser.com. So you can find the previous shows. You can also get podcasts of them. You can also email me questions when you're there. So if you don't want to call in and ask questions, please email me some questions or send me some questions via my website, and I'd be happy to answer those for you on our show. All right, so today we are going to be exploring how to speak your truth, when and when not to. So basically, how to speak your truth within the organization and within a workplace. And my guest today, I am excited to have and very honored to have Rozan Erickson. Welcome, Roz.
Thank you.
So let me tell you a little bit about Roz. Roz and I, first of all, I got to share too. We go back a ways. We met each other in our graduate program at Antioch. And so we've been talking about this stuff for quite a while. And so that's why I'm also excited to have Roz here to be then sharing our thoughts on speaking your truth within the workplace. Let me give you a little background on Roz, though, too. So Roz is a senior account manager with the Hartford. Many of you probably know that as Hartford Insurance. She has been with Hartford since 2001. She has a master's degree in organizational psychology from Antioch University. Again, that's where we met. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the other thing about Roz that many people might not know is that Roz is the type of person who voices her opinion.
Good and bad.
Yes. Many times she can evoke a lot of controversy or dissent, especially from management. Regardless as being known as the person who can tear any proposal to shreds and her unwillingness to play the political game, over time, Roz has gained credibility and is now recognized as a leader within her organization and someone who does things that does the right thing versus doing things right. Rozan is someone who knows how and when to speak her truth. And that's what we want to explore today.
Well, I'm still exploring that. I mean, I think that's an ongoing development. You know, it really is a skill. And when you meet people that are really, really good at doing that, you know, it's so admirable because it's tough to know the appropriate time and delivery method, and knowing your audience is such a huge part of that. And I mean, I probably have stepped in more landmines than I've navigated it well. But I think hopefully after, you know, 20 years and in my professional career, I've hopefully gotten better at it. And I think for me, too, noticing that it's a process. You gain credibility, you know, over time by smoothing out, I guess, if you will, your delivery, knowing your audience, but also when you're willing to say the thing that nobody else in the room is sometimes willing to say, or ask the question that nobody else is willing to ask, a lot of times people look to you to go, but you know, you're not doing that, or we need somebody to do that and stuff. And it's a tough position to hold, you know. So
now, have you always been courageous enough to speak your truth?
You know, for me, I don't even know if it's a question of courage. I think I've had a big enough mouth and not always been very good at keeping it shut that I run it. And yes, I've always had that character, I don't know, some would call it a flaw, but a character trait where it's like, yeah, I am not very good at like holding my tongue. I think as I've gotten older, I've gotten better at delivering it, you know, in a more sophisticated manner, I guess, if you will. But yeah, I've had that. And it's interesting because I was telling you earlier that I just visited a friend this weekend that I went to undergraduate college with. We both went to WSU. And she actually is, I don't know if she's quite a director level, but she's in kind of a high management level at ABC Disney. And we were talking mm-hmm. exactly about this topic because I told her this was coming up. And both her and I have, over the last 20 years, shared stories in our careers on how frustrating this can be, when especially when you have a company that has kind of espoused values of, you know, we want to be more transparent or we want to be more candid in our conversations. And then you get kind of, you know, you're going, oh, great, I can totally do that. And then you get your hand slapped for doing it. And then you have to kind of say, wait a minute, are we wanting just to do this in theory? Or are you really asking us to do this and have the hard conversation or ask the hard question or push back in the way that people don't necessarily aren't comfortable being pushed back? It's just not necessarily a comfortable place sometimes to be, especially when you're balancing a culture sometimes that says, well, it's more important to be nice than it is to be honest.
Which I would think are most cultures.
A lot of companies are like that. Yeah. A lot of companies are like that, where it's, again, you have a certain set of espoused values. You know, diversity is another one where it says, you know, we want to really be diverse, not just in our people, but also in our thought and our practices and our styles and stuff. But then as soon as somebody comes in with something different, that's uncomfortable. And so then you get pushback and you're like, well, wait a minute. You know, that clearly meant something different to you or to management or this group than it did to me. So sometimes it's clarifying.
You know, and so I'm thinking about you're willing to, well, like you said, it's a flaw, but it's a willingness, I'm going to call it the courageous willingness to speak your truth, to say what needs to be said, at least what you think needs to be said. But like you said, so many cultures do not support that. I mean, mm-hmm. and so most people then will just after a while just stop. It's just like, fine, mm-hmm. and they'll just start playing the game. But you didn't.
Well, I think for me, it's, you know, I really have a hard time shoving stuff down. That doesn't feel comfortable for me. And I think, you know, within my company, it's, and I got a lot from Antioch of this too, where you're really looking at, okay, what's the structure here? Like, what's the playing field that I'm dealing with? And I think a lot of people don't necessarily have that education or that methodology or structure to think about it in that terms of going, wait a minute, like, what kind of structure am I dealing with here? What kind of culture am I dealing with here? They're just, you know, going, I just know I feel uncomfortable and like maybe this isn't a great fit for me, or how do I find my place in this? And so for me, I got a lot from using some of the tools that we learned and some of the practices, as well as, you know, just methodology and things at Antioch, to go, what's going on here? What's the cultural elements that are having a play or an impact here? And like, for the other thing too, is that, you know, I came to work with Hartford through an acquisition. So now you're merging two cultures and, you know, that, and I've talked to other people and that was the second acquisition / merger I'd been through and stuff. And that also has, where you're learning a whole different set of rules and here's a different playing game. And, you know, for us, there's a structure of field people versus home office people and stuff, and a different set of rules for each, you know? And so you're navigating that, and a lot of times unconsciously navigating that and stuff. And for me, I think I kept continuing coming back to, I'm not just representing my own thoughts here and stuff. I'm representing a client. I'm the closest position that we have to our clients. And so a lot of times I come out of the gate with that, you know, of like almost reminding our leadership, our home office people and stuff, if we're in meetings and stuff, of like, I'm not saying this just because I want to say it, or I'm not saying this just because this is, you know, a Roz thought or feeling. This is what our clients are saying, and I'm representing them. I think we're losing sight of that. And a lot of companies, I think, they kind of lose sight of the big picture because you get personalities and other politics wrapped up in the issue. And for me, too, if you can bring it back to the, kind of that core issue, I think sometimes people can hear you better.
Yeah, because, you know, there was a couple things there that you said that were really good. Of one of them was that it's not just me whining. Okay, because there is a difference. And if you just joined us, so I'm talking with Rosin Erickson, and we're talking about speaking our truth within the workplace. And this is not talking about complaining within the workplace. We're talking about when something has to be said and nobody's saying it. Mm-hmm. Either it's not politically right or it's not the way we've done things. And it's having the courage to continually to keep being the willing to stick your neck out mm-hmm. and to say something.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and Misha, I wanted to, because you had sent me ahead of time some really great questions and stuff, and you had asked me to think of a specific situation where I had been willing to kind of stick my neck out and basically asked me, how did that go for you? And I had one, and I know I shared this with you a couple of years ago because it's one of those ones that I still can get hot about. But it was a situation where I had participated on what we call a relationship management council. They asked basically our top performers in our field office, and those are the people, our sales reps and our account managers that are closest to our clients, to participate in a council that tells our leaders, what are clients saying? What do we need in our marketplace in order to sell and retain more business? And somehow that got really very twisted along the lines where it became, how can we, present ourselves that we're just doing a great job to our leadership, which I'm like, wait a minute, now we have the dog wagging or the tail wagging the dog here. Like it just got really kind of backwards because we had a lot of middle management people that wanted just things to look good and present to senior leadership, which was challenging for me. And I felt like I kept saying, wait a minute, what's our intent here? What is this council really intending to do? And I felt like I kept asking that question, but I'm not sure how much it was heard. But anyway, one of the issues that came up was really around compensation, which really is a very important issue when you're retaining talent and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so because a lot of us are paid on commissions, that issue just kind of kept coming up. And so they came out with a change in our compensation plan and kind of just rammed it down our throat and then told all of our kind of mid-level managers, you need to get your people to shut up about this. We don't want to hear any more about it. It is what it is. It needs to go away. So I was noticing on my team and on other teams out in the field, people were still talking about it. It was just informally. So now you have all this griping going on and stuff. And it wasn't even, I think that people were expecting this immediate change. It was more of like you didn't let any outlet for people saying, wait a minute, why? What was the impetus for this change? There was no avenue for asking good questions and saying and giving feedback. And so on this council, I reached out. There was eight of us in my position, and I reached out to each of them individually and said, after talking to my manager about it too, I said, are your teams still griping about this? And they said, oh, yeah. And I said, well, let's be thoughtful about giving. We're supposed to give feedback to our leaders and stuff. We represent our peers. Let's be thoughtful about doing this. Let's not do it. Let's do it in a very professional way and stuff. So I sent an email and called each of these eight individuals and stuff. Well, anyway, it ended up getting to senior leadership in this way where I heard about it kind of through the grapevine that one senior leader had called my manager and my sales manager and basically said, you need to basically squash this conversation in the bud. That is unacceptable that, she's kind of organizing this. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm just looking for an avenue for continuing the dialogue. I'm not demanding change. I wasn't even that upset about the comp changes and stuff. It was more of like, I wanted to represent our peers in a satisfactory way that people felt heard and there was an avenue for dialogue and stuff. And I was so disappointed in the whole process, including I didn't feel like my local management even stood up for me, even though they're the ones that encouraged it, because they were kind of like, we need somebody to have the courage to stand up and address it. And as soon as it got any kind of heat, everybody cowered. And I felt like it was kind of the chief standing alone, which still. And so sometimes you have those really tough situations where you're going to be the cheese standing alone.
The cheese stands alone. I like that. That's awesome. Okay, let's stop with that thought because we are going to take a commercial break here in just a moment. So we're talking about the cheese stands alone, speaking your truth within an organization or within your culture. And a lot of times we do feel like the cheese stands alone.
Yeah.
So when we come back after this commercial break, we will be talking again with Rosin Erickson, and you are listening to the Misha Rouser Show, and we will be right back.
Mm-hmm. So effective leadership isn't something that just happens. It takes time and effort. Misha Rauser, master coach, organizational psychologist, and successful entrepreneur, has developed a concentrated series of courses to help you become your best as a leader and professional. Explore your leadership style, become a communications master, and learn to plan strategically in order to make better decisions. You'll learn emotional intelligence, team building, change management, and other skills for personal success, such as conflict resolution. There's a great leader inside you to be unlocked. Make the commitment to become a well-rounded, intelligent leader. Show the world around you that you are ready to lead. Log on to MishaRauser.com. That's MishaRauser.com to learn more. It's the Leadership Development Series. Your first step toward professional excellence begins at MishaRauser.com.
Hi, this is Misha, host of The Misha Rauser Show, heard Tuesdays at 9 a.m. on Alternative Talk 1150. If you want to overcome obstacles in your career, become an effective leader, and increase productivity while still having fun, tune in and learn, laugh, and be challenged. I've helped thousands leap over their professional hurdles, and I can help you too. Join me for The Misha Rauser Show, Tuesdays, 9 a.m. That's Tuesdays at 9 a.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
Alternative Talk 1150 is now being broadcast in digital quality on FM 98.9 HD3. So rejoice, you early adopters of technology.
Hi, this is Misha, and welcome back to the Misha Rauser Show. And in our show, we are talking about leadership and professional development. And today, we are talking with Roslyn Erickson, who is known for speaking her truth within the organization. And so that's what we're exploring, is when can you and should you and how do you speak what and say what needs to be said within the organization? When a lot of times, and where we left off, a lot of times the organization says they want you to do that, but they don't. And you're left there by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to continue with that thought. And so where you had left off, Roz, is we were talking about, okay, when there is something that needs to be said within the organization and nobody's saying it. And in your case, you were using this example where it was like, okay, fine, I'll start gathering the information and I'll be the spokesperson.
Absolutely.
On behalf of everybody. Mm-hmm. And instead that it worked and you were the spokesperson, but you were basically shut down.
Yeah, in that situation, and it's funny because, I mean, I've had other situations like that, and I know other people, because it's funny if those in your audience and stuff, if you're kind of a truth teller, you know, in your organization and stuff, you do find ways of finding other truth tellers and other organizations and kind of swapping stories. And not that there's only one truth, but it's like, you know, are you kind of representing that role that is willing to say, wait a minute, what's going on here? Or, you know, like I was sharing with you, my friend Kelly that I saw this weekend and stuff, she was saying that, you know, it's really hard when you continue to bring up the tough issue where everybody's kind of like, well, we were just hoping that would go away. And she's like, it's not going to go away. Like, you know, in her position, she's in more of an HR position. And it's like, sometimes you just have to continue to say this situation isn't going to go away on its own. Like, this badly behaving leader or whatever is not going to stop behaving this way. We need to address it rather than continue to ignore it. And, you know, people above you and stuff, a lot of times are promoted because they're peacekeepers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know, and certainly in my organization, I've noticed, especially in our kind of home office chain of command or whatever, it's those people who are able to kind of keep the peace, that are, you know, kind of yes men and stuff. And there's a place for that, and there is a role for that. But there is also a role for those of us who are maybe a little bit more lightning rods and willing to say, wait a minute, this isn't working. Or how did we get to this place? Was it just a bunch of yes, or nobody saying, wait a minute, that's not really working for us, you know? And so a lot of times you do feel like you're kind of standing alone. And I know, like, at least in my career, because people have asked me about this before. Some of it is like you almost have to earn the credibility to be a truth teller,
mm-hmm.
or somebody who's because say that you're not a good performer or you're somebody who has had personnel issues or whatever and stuff. Well, your credibility isn't maybe as strong and can't withstand being somebody who's standing up and saying the hard message, because it would be very easy to shut that individual down by saying, well, you know, well, that's just them, or they're rogue, or, you know, they're not a good performer, or they're just complaining and stuff, rather than going, well, wait a minute and stuff. We have a good performer here who's also saying, wait a minute, this isn't right, you know, or something's going on here. So there is a credibility factor.
And actually, that's a huge point. So mm-hmm. I would think, so when we're thinking about do's and don'ts mm-hmm. of when to speak your truth, one of them is you need to understand, too, how does the rest of the organization view you? Mm-hmm. Because if for whatever reason you do not have that trust or credibility, that's what you need to work on first.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't have that, then, you know, they're not going to give you as much credibility.
Yeah. I mean, we'd all like to think we lived in, you know, a utopia where everything's fair. It's not. So I think, you know, one of the things that you had asked me ahead of time to kind of think about is what are the things that make it so that somebody is able to really kind of stand up? And I think there's a couple things. One is kind of knowing your own reputation and working on that, too. You know what I mean? Like, all of us at times can do some work on cleaning up our reputation and stuff. I mean, I've certainly had to tone down sometimes the way that, you know, I've delivered messages, I guess. and I still have that reputation. It's funny. One of our VPs came out to visit us in December and stuff. And it's so funny because they were out and we've had some personnel issues, and they actually ended up firing somebody, but they were kind of wanting to clean this up, and they wanted to know how the team was feeling. And our VP said directly to me, I really want all comments, Roz. I'm not kidding. No holds bar. Well, then you're like, okay. And I had a comment that was a little bit stinging towards him where I said, you know, when you hire a leader for our marketplace and there's nobody on the team that gets to have a say in that, because they hired somebody and they didn't have a say in that, and then it ended up being a disaster, I said, there's soft things that aren't taken into consideration, like, is this a good fit for our team, you know? And she wasn't, and we lost some really good sales reps, and it kind of destroyed one of our markets over it. I said, somebody on the team needs to represent us to see if this is a good fit and everything. Well, all he heard is that I wanted to interview the candidates. And I'm like, that's not what I said at all, but that's what he heard, because it kind of got defensive about it and stuff. And it's like, okay, well, you know, I tried to articulate it well, but you can't control what somebody else hears and stuff. So it's knowing your audience, you know, too. That's a big thing of kind of, you know, like, not that I'm sorry I delivered that message, but I also am like, kind of like, okay, well, maybe I needed to like cushion it even more because, you know, like, he didn't hear exactly what I was trying to say.
Yeah. And so that's a really good point, too, that I got of, because of the fact, too, that it was maybe a little bit of a sting on him.
It was.
And he got
a
little defensive.
Yeah.
Of course, now, boom, he's no longer listening to the logic behind what you said.
Right.
And so that's a really good point, too, is when you're delivering, you really need to do it in a place of neutrality where you're not raising other people's defenses, because now you just lost him.
No, I did.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Great.
I don't know that I ever had him, because he's kind of one of these people that's kind of like, hey, you know, I want everybody just to feel good, including himself. So, yeah, and sometimes you weigh all of those things and you deliver it anyway, you know, because it was a valid point. And it really wasn't even as much about me. It was kind of representing the team. And then you do kind of get, you know, well, people ahead of time will say, you're going to say something, you know, like, they all know there's certain messages on your team that need to be delivered. And they do a lot of times look for you to be an informal leader to put it out there. And sometimes putting it out there in a soft way, like almost kind of having a little softball, gives other people permission to, it opens the door for others and stuff. So again, it's kind of knowing your audience, knowing your team of going, do I just need to kick something off that other people can go, oh yeah, you know, because I get a lot of times I'll be on phone calls internally or in meetings and stuff. And I will maybe either ask a question, which one of the tools I learned at Antioch was really asking good questions rather than delivering, like, here's my opinion, you know, of asking it in the form of a question so that it leaves a lot more space for other people to respond. Or maybe I need a clarification on something.
Yeah.
But then a lot of times people will like kind of jump on the bandwagon and go, you know, just to kind of jump on Roz's thought, blah, 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 blah. And so it opened the door where I'm not really the cheese standing alone and stuff. But if I had delivered it in a way of like kind of a tirade of saying, you know, here's, you know, then people want to back off because they're like, I don't feel comfortable getting on that bandwagon because you just dumped a bomb in there.
Right.
So delivery, knowing your audience, making sure that you kind of have a sense of what your reputation is. I think those are three big elements around, you know, kind of having the foundation to speak your truth, I guess, if you will.
Yeah. And so let's go back to the delivery and about the question, you know, reframing it. That's an art too.
Oh, yes.
It is. It's really difficult. And I don't want to put you on the spot, but I really do want to ask an example of how, you know, something that you're thinking about that you really needs to be said. And then how can you spin that as a question? Because sometimes when you spin it as a question, it doesn't land. And it, okay, that didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so how can you be direct about it, but in an indirect way by leading in with a question?
Yeah. I actually have a kind of example of that. It's actually not with in my work. It's on an academic group because you and I are both involved still in some of the Antioch things and stuff. And so this academic group that kind of has moved on and doing community work and stuff has a design team. And there's a few individuals that participate on this that I have made a judgment or an assumption that they don't want to participate anymore. And because I don't know some of these individuals very well or whatever, I'm operating with this assumption based on feedback or behavior or just, you know, kind of observations. But what I should be doing is kind of taking a step back and asking the question of, you know, do you still want, you know, what does this group mean to you? And do you still want to participate in it? Maybe that's a little too direct, but I think there's a question there versus me saying, you know, like, it doesn't feel like you want to do this anymore. Like, why are you, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Where that has a little bit more of like, I've already made a decision rather than like having an open-ended, I'm just gathering information.
Yeah. And I like a lot of what you're saying there too, is thinking about our own assumptions.
Oh, yeah.
Before opening your mouth, mm-hmm. What are the assumptions that you could be, you know, thinking about or that could be totally off?
Yeah.
Because let's say, for example, in this situation, the person was not even considering leaving, loves it. And now you just planted a seed of, I feel like you want to leave. And now they're going to start, oh, what, do you want me to leave? And
well, exactly. I would, yeah, where it's like maybe they're not having an issue in our relationship, but I would have created having an issue
yes.
in our relationship because they're like, wait a minute, why are you thinking that? Are you thinking I'm doing a bad job?
Exactly.
Know? But, you know, I was talking to somebody else about something similar to this topic, and we were both kind of sharing with how oftentimes we have people in our life that do these kinds of, have these kind of skills, maybe innately, just naturally. And actually, you and I have a mutual friend that just, she is brilliant at asking a question that is a very clean question. It's not laced with assumptions or judgments or, you know, because sometimes in a charged situation, and a lot of times when you're talking about speaking your truth, the situation's already charged because people have already kind of picked sides. There's already a kind of a battlefield going on. And so even though you think you're doing a good job asking a question, it's already laced with a bunch of other stuff. I know I certainly have had that come up. And I'm thinking, well, I ask a question, but it was just so, you know, charged. And this mutual friend, she just does such a brilliant job of being like, with it's not charged. It's not, you know, of like, I'm just curious, you know, of like getting in that place of curiosity. So I for myself, and I would encourage your audience too, if you see people around you that have like these kinds of skills and stuff, ask them about it. Or, you know, kind of getting that energy of going, gosh, I noticed like, you know, my friend Karen does a really good job of asking really clean, good questions. I noticed the response that she gets when she does that. I would like to emulate that. You
yeah.
know, I think we all do a better job of kind of going, you know, what's the skill set I don't have that I could build on or improve on, especially when in this kind of topic, because it is, you are navigating a little bit of a minefield.
Yeah. And I loved how you were saying too, so a tool or a tip that somebody can do, we all know this stuff, but it's always great to be reminded, is like in our case with our friend Karen, it's almost like trying to channel in the moment, you know, what would Karen say? How would she handle this mm-hmm. right now? And to bring it up then that way.
Yeah.
And I loved, because we've been talking about assumptions, but it's also judgments.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so. And like you're saying, in a charged situation, you really, that's where emotional intelligence comes in. You really got to check yourself, check your own emotions, check how, you know, spun up you're getting, mm-hmm. what judgments are going on, what assumptions. And this also leads me to thinking then when we're talking about the do's and don'ts of speaking your truth, that's also the moment when you want to ask yourself, why am I feeling the urge to say this?
Yeah. Well, you bring up a lot of good points in there. One is sometimes we're spun up and charged because it's triggered us. It's really not about the situation. We just got triggered because it brought up other stuff. So knowing yourself is a huge piece of it. The other thing, too, that I have a coworker and she's really funny. And so this is a little bit more dealing with outside clients, because outside clients, it's a lot harder just to say, you know, what's going on? Like, have you lost your mind? Are you just, you know, smoking crack? What's going on with you? You know, I mean, like, you have to just be a lot more diplomatic and stuff. Well, and she's funny. She will write, she'll write it all out in an email or in a document or whatever. Like, she'll just, it's almost like she'll just do a kind of a data dump with all of her stuff. And then she'll redo it a couple times and then have somebody else look at it to kind of clean up a lot of that charged energy and stuff, so that you're not, you know, going, oh, I just data dumped and sent. And then you're cleaning up a mess because you're explaining where you came from. And I think a lot of us that tend to be a little bit more on the truth-telling side or wanting to, like, you know, just speak our truth, have had been in situations where you have to clean that up later, mm-hmm. because it either wasn't clean, we didn't really go, wait a minute, what was I really trying to accomplish here? Or do I just need a vent and stuff? And that's not a fun time for any of us to clean up something. So I think there are, you know, some good tools to, okay, how do I know, is this really about the situation? And am I delivering it in a way that can be heard rather than, you know? And this is true in our personal lives, too. I mean, everybody has stories about where, like, oh, that person just made me so angry. And then I just blasted off an email or got a call. And then it's like you kind of realize later, oh, that wasn't even about that situation for me.
It's so true. So, again, if you just tuned in, so I'm Misha Rauser, and you're listening to The Misha Rauser Show, and I'm talking with Rosin Erickson, and we're talking about speaking your truth. And speaking your truth specifically within the workplace and the do's and don'ts around that. And so two things you made me think about with what you were just saying. One was, is again, really understanding the intention behind speaking your truth. You know, if it's just you complaining because of the injustice of blah, 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 or whatever, that is something that we need to be thinking about. You know, that might more be just you venting and speaking your opinion. Mm-hmm. Whereas what we're trying to get at here is sometimes there is definitely things that need to be said. It's the elephant in the room that nobody's talking about.
Yeah.
And are you doing? And so one of the things I was thinking about was when you're thinking, okay, why am I about to say what I'm about to say, is to think about, who is this benefiting? Is it going to be benefiting me,
mm-hmm.
and anybody else?
Yeah.
And now it's real easy to, oh, yeah, it's going to benefit everybody else too. But really, no, it's just benefiting you.
Yeah.
But that's a one way to also a tool to think about, okay, who is this benefiting and why does it need to be said? And
that's a great, no, that's it's a really good point. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the second thing I was thinking about is, okay, so you tied into, or you talked about speaking your truth using email.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now let's think about, okay, that can be the curse of death too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are definitely times when something needs to be said, it needs to be said in person versus email.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you want to play with that for a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, I think that to me goes back to knowing your audience.
Mm.
You know, who's your audience and what's kind of the issue at hand, you know? And, you know, I have clients all the time where it's like, you know, hopefully I've developed a good enough relationship and stuff that you can kind of find where you can navigate sometimes, because sometimes it's tough, you know, especially when you're in a business that financially you're dealing with financial issues, or you're dealing with deliverables and stuff. Sometimes there's not an easy answer, or the answer is no. And it's finding a way to deliver that in a way that can be, you know, heard and, you know, and keep the relationship intact,
right,
and stuff. And so sometimes it is, you know, kind of, you know, picking up that phone and just being like, you know, I just kind of wanted to give you a heads up. You know, sometimes it's that. And I don't know, maybe, I don't know. For me, this kind of falls into speaking your truth. But it's kind of just, how do you navigate delivering and having those tough conversations and stuff, you know. And sometimes, you know, like, for example, like, you know, we have a lot of actuaries and underwriters and those type people you're dealing with and stuff. And sometimes I find, like, picking up the phone does not help, you know. Like, you're dealing with people who are very, like, you know, black and white. It's financially based and stuff. And so sometimes it's about really going, okay, like, get your numbers in order. Get your argument in order and have it in a way that it's, like, it's not just circling around in a conversation where all they're hearing is, I want it because I want it.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, okay, it's like really kind of doing the research to get to the compromise you're looking for and stuff. And, you know, again, you know, having that backup. And then other times you might have a client that's super relationship based and stuff. And it's like, they're not going to hear any of that. You could send that stuff to them all day long. They're just going to be like, but I need this because it's going to make me look good in my job. And, you know, make me look like I got something accomplished. I have one client that she'll just put it out on the line like that, which makes it a lot easier for me to deal with because I know what's motivating her, where she's like, I need a win here. Mm. And so then I'm kind of like, okay, does it have to be a win there? Or are you open to a win if I can find it somewhere else and stuff? And a lot of times she's like, just get me a win. I don't care really where it is. And then you're kind of like, wow, we were able to have a conversation to get to what's your motivation? What are you looking for here? Because she wanted to be able to report good news up to her chain of command. Once I understood that, it's like, well, yeah, I could probably help you get there and stuff. If I felt like she was just beating me up on rate, then I, you know what I mean?
It's yes.
Like we're having a totally different conversation.
Yeah, and that kind of circles back to what you were talking about earlier, too, in our conversation of about explaining to the premise behind it. This isn't just my opinion. This is also what all the clients are saying. Mm-hmm. This isn't just why I just don't need it. It's also my boss needs it.
Yeah.
So helping to build that up a little bit can help tremendously as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, if this is resonating for you, if this is like something that's resonating for somebody in your audience and stuff, there's some really great tools out there that are kind of like almost like SWOT analysis type things where you can just do those for yourself to go, okay, here's what's going on for me. What's the truth that I need to say? What's the truth that the organization needs to hear? You know, I mean, sometimes those are different things and stuff, you know, like what's the end result that I'm looking to accomplish? And sometimes doing like a really informal exercise like that helps you get to what's the next step I want to take here?
Yes.
Rather than just being like, I'm just angry or I need to vent. And it's like, if that's true, sometimes that is the answer. Okay, you go find the appropriate place to do it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to do it, like, you know, with your boss and then clean it up later or, you know, like be dealing with the like ramifications that forever if that was really all you needed to do versus if you got really thoughtful and was like, this is what needs to be said, but I'm going to do it in a really, you know, kind of thoughtful way that can be heard. You know, there's a lot of good to be said about being known and seen as somebody who's willing to stand up in the tough situation, especially if you do it elegantly. You know, I mean, I think that there's absolutely a world full of people that have built their careers on that, you know, because we need that. I mean, look at our, you know, political system and our, you know, corporate system and, you know, in our communities and stuff. When you master and, you know, are good at this and stuff, you know, like you really can use it as an impetus.
Nice. Okay, so let's go ahead and take a pause and we'll come back to that. So again, you're listening to the Misha Rouser Show and I'm talking with Roslyn Erickson, and our subject today is speaking your truth within the organization. And we will be right back after this commercial break.
Dynamic careers in organizations require dynamic thinking. Success is measured in terms of positive, productive, meaningful workplaces. Misha Rouser, master coach, organizational psychologist, and successful entrepreneur, has helped thousands become more confident in their leadership and professional abilities. Misha's years of research and private practice have given her the tools to help you or your organization improve performance. Log on now to learn more about coaching, consulting, or training with Misha Rouser at MishaRouser.com. That's MishaRouser.com.
Hi, this is Misha, host of The Misha Rouser Show, heard Tuesdays at 9 a.m. on Alternative Talk 1150. If you want to overcome obstacles in your career, become an effective leader, and increase productivity while still having fun, tune in and learn, laugh, and be challenged. I've helped thousands leap over their professional hurdles, and I can help you too. Join me for The Misha Rouser Show, Tuesdays, 9 a.m. That's Tuesdays at 9 a.m. on Alternative Talk, 1150.
Clear, clean, and crisp. Check us out in digital quality sound on FM 98.9 HD3. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Welcome back to the Misha Rouser Show. Hi, I'm Misha, and we are talking about speaking your truth within the organization. And I'm speaking with Rosin Erickson. And before I jump into that, let me just make sure I'm covering some of my logistics. So again, the show is live every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. And we talk about anything to deal that deals with leadership and professional development. It could be communication. It can be emotional intelligence, leading without authority, dealing with difficult coworkers, any of that. And again, remember, if you have any questions or situations that you're dealing with, I would love to hear what those are. So you're welcome to either call us during the live show on Tuesday mornings between 9 and 10 o'clock. And that phone number is local, 425-373-5527, or toll-free, and that's 888-298-5569. Or you're welcome to send me your questions on my website. You can go to MishaRouser.com. Again, that's Misha Rouser, M-E-I-S-H-A, Rouser is R-O-U-S-E-R.com, and you can submit your questions there as well. And I'll either answer them back to you via email or answer them on the phone or live on the air. Also, keep in mind, all of these shows are They're live, but we do keep recordings of them. And you can download those recordings of past shows on my website as well. So again, today we are talking about speaking your truth. And where we kind of left off too, and what I would like to get more into also is around developing the confidence to do that. Roz, you had shared with us a little bit earlier where you did run into quite a few situations where you got a lot of backlash, and basically management was telling you, you know, to kind of squelch things and to keep it undercover and keep your opinions to yourself. What kept you going? I mean, so many times people were just like, okay, fine, I'm just going to fly low.
Yeah.
What kept you going?
I think for me, one, it's kind of, again, like a built-in characteristic. I just am not very good at just kind of keeping opinions and thoughts to myself. I think you also have a few successes, you know, where it's you kind of go, you know, and I would suggest, you know, especially if somebody is really thinking, you know, and kind of playing around with this idea or grappling with this, you know, because, you know, sometimes it's like you kind of, it's almost like you timidly, you know, try and you can kind of get squashed. I would encourage people not to give up. I think that our organizations, our community, our country in general is better off when people are willing to stand up and say something. And so I think, again, I think most of us, you know, there's some people that are just naturally just do it so eloquently and beautiful and stuff. But I think most of us are, it's going to be a journey. You're going to have some like successes, and you're certainly going to, you know, I've certainly had some failures in doing it and looking back on it going, okay, because sometimes it stings, you know, it's in the moment, it can just really sting. And once you kind of get past that sting, you can kind of look back and go, was that me? Was that the organization? Was that like maybe another individual that had their buttons pushed? And I think sometimes sorting that element out allows for you to kind of refine the way that you move through. And sometimes the situation calls for you to be, you know, direct and strong and, you know, like, you know, no, I'm not going to delicately dance around this. It needs to be said this way, you know. Especially if, like, you know, if you have, like, you know, abusive situations going on and stuff, you know, sometimes it demands somebody standing up and going, that's unacceptable. Like, you're not going to talk to me that way and stuff. And other times, you know, it is much more of a delicate situation that you're kind of like, you kind of have to, you know, for lack of a better term, crap detect your own response to it. You know, is this, is this reaction just me and my stuff? Or is there something bigger going on? Am I representing a bigger group of people? And so I think asking our own selves questions and asking ourselves stuff. And I think, too, you know, I'm kind of interested in, I know you and I have talked about this, but one of the things I'm kind of interested in is the role that we individually play in a group. And a lot of times there's a story that's kind of being played out in our organizations, the same as we have stories that are being played out in our families. You know, it's really no different. I know that we want to like segment our lives of like, oh, here's my, you know, professional world and here's my personal world. And they're segmented and stuff. And it's like, no, it's the common denominator is you. And, you know, like there's overlap, you know. And I think really looking at what role do I play in these different places, you know, and sometimes they're different and sometimes the same. Sometimes we have such a strong role. It's like it's almost a firm archetype. This is a role that we play and we play it everywhere and stuff. And sometimes you can look at, okay, what's going on, you know, in other areas of my life that I can apply to maybe in my professional career or development that like, gosh, I notice that, you know, sometimes, you know, I don't know, I deliver it like, you know, a firebomb and I'm always dealing with the backlash in my family. Is that going on in my work world too? Do I need to like, you know, tame down what's going on here, you know, and clean that up a little bit and stuff? So I think, you know, really taking that internal look at it yourself and going, what role do I want to play? What role do I play? And what role do I want to play?
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes we're not playing the role that we really want to play, you know?
Yeah.
Like sometimes you find yourself that you are the bad guy or you are the scapegoat and you're like, I don't want to play that role anymore and stuff. And so then it's kind of asking yourself, how do I continue to find myself in this role and what can I do to kind of change that dynamic?
Yeah, and it's so true because, again, Roz and I know each other from working on our master's program together, and a lot of times when something had to be said, oh, Roz will do it. Let's put Roz up to it. Because we knew, you know, you're so right in that you have the personality for that. Mm-hmm. You understand how to do it. You have no issues doing it. And so it gets me thinking, though, all right, I'm guessing that's a small part of the population. I'm guessing majority of the people who are listening right now are like, that's so not me. And it's how do we then, those people who don't like confrontation, mm-hmm. who don't, you know, want to be the center of attention, mm-hmm. how, you know, so I'm thinking about the building the confidence, you know, those people who, but something has to be said. Either, I mean, it could be something as simple as, like you're saying, a bullying situation
yeah.
at work or whatever, or it's that niceness, mm-hmm. you know, that so many organizations have the nice issue
mm-hmm.
and nobody's really saying what needs to be said.
Right.
And so it's building that confidence of the person then who's like, how do I do that then?
Yeah. I don't know. Like if I was somebody who was like, you know, maybe that wasn't my traditional role. You know, maybe I was, you know, the peacekeeper. Maybe my role is normally being the peacekeeper and stuff. But I was like, wait a minute. Like, I feel like something needs to be said here. That's not working here. Or I want to step out and be a little bit more courageous and stuff. You know, maybe it's taking that baby step and doing something a little bit different than you traditionally do it, or just start to think about it in a different light and stuff. You know, in your first step out, you might not want to, like, you know, in a big meeting with everybody say, you know, I've just really noticed everybody, like, you know, is, you know, really passive aggressive. You know, I think we should work on that. You know, that might not get you the response that you're wanting. You know, you might want to do it in a little bit different way of, you know, maybe having a solution or an idea, you know, to say, you know, hey, I would really love it if we all, you know, were able to, you know, express, you know, how we're feeling about this project. I don't know, maybe suggest something like that and then right. Provide an opening and stuff, because people are going to be less defensive if you kind of provide an opening. But it takes some thought, you know. The other thing, too, is don't underestimate the role that you're already playing. Like, if you really are kind of that peacekeeper and stuff, don't underestimate that doesn't have power and that you're not able to use your natural tendencies to create change, especially maybe in a place that needs some truth-telling and stuff. And it could be, you know, that your role, I mean, some people's role in my organization, on my team, is to bring stuff to my attention. That is their role. Well, they'll say, you know what, we've noticed X, Y, and Z or this and that and the other is going on. Could you please say something in the next meeting? And it's like they're doing their role, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of is their role. And so, I don't know. Like, for me, I'm interested in that, those dynamics and stuff. And I am interested in people being more conscious and thoughtful about what role are you playing? What role do you want to play? What roles are not being played that should be, like, you know, in your team dynamics and stuff. And I think that is related to speaking your truth, because a lot of that, it goes so unconscious that it's just like we're all kind of at the victim and at the mercy of things, dynamics going on that nobody's intentionally participating in.
Yeah, and so you made me think about, too, some really common tools that I'll find, especially with working in my coaching practice with people who are working on that confidence to be able to speak their truth, to be able to say what needs to be said. And some of the things that I always tell them, we've talked about already in this program, of one is, again, really, you know, watching your own emotional energy. Are you all spun up? Okay, yeah. Because that's going to come across, and it may not come across positively.
No.
So it's understanding your own emotional intelligence of, okay, let's try to neutralize what's going on here, neutralize your own energy.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, too, to realize, like what you were saying, don't make it a personal attack. It's not saying, are you all just a bunch of passive-aggressive people here? It's more of, you know, so one, it's to make it not a personal attack,
mm-hmm.
But to be able to present what you're wanting to say is, a lot of times, just focus on the facts of what's going on. Do not make it personal.
Mm-hmm.
Focus on either the behavior or the facts. You know, I'm noticing that we're saying a lot of things in this meeting that really are not, contributing to us moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Not a personal attack. And then also to share them what the impact is. So you had talked about that earlier. It's not just me saying this, but my clients are saying this as well. It's impacting them.
Yeah.
So sharing where some of this is coming from. You know, this is why this is needing to be said, because the impact by us ignoring this has been this.
Yeah.
And again, let me ask you, is part of this then, when you're speaking your truth, is it to point fingers, or is it more to open up space for the conversation to be had, to say, okay, is this, do we want to continue doing this?
Right. I 100% agree with you. I mean, sometimes, you know, there are situations sometimes where it's like the dynamics have gotten so entangled and nasty that you do have to address what's going on. But there are sometimes where it's like being focused on a going forward solution oriented outcome or whatever can kind of let that other stuff fall by the wayside and stuff. I mean, I had a group one time I was working with, and I was feeling so frustrated with the conversation just became very circular. And I just felt like we weren't getting, I'm like, I don't have time for this. And I don't like how we're just circling around, like in the idea thing or whatever. Like, there's a deadline and deliverables due here. Can we, you know, and I just found myself being just agitated. But I was stuffing it down, stuffing. And I can feel myself ready to just blow. Like, I'm like, if we have one more meeting that goes like this or whatever, I'm going to blow a top and stuff. And finally, I said, you know what would really be helpful for me? And I just said, you know, this would be helpful for me. I'm wondering if anybody else is feeling like this would be helpful, is if we could get really clear in our agenda before the meeting of, like, what's our intention to do, get done in the timeline, and that we kind of stay focused on that. And if the intention is to kind of, you know, do something where it involves, like, kind of, you know, brainstorming, if you will, and stuff, that we know that going in. But if the intention is, you know, we need to, like, clarify some things and, you know, meet a deliverable or whatever, that's clear up front, so that I'm not expecting one thing and you're expecting, you know, something else. And then at the end of the meeting, you know, I don't feel like we have what I thought we were going to have and stuff. And there was a bunch of other people that said, oh, that would be so helpful. That would be great. And then it was like I was able to do kind of like almost a template. It was almost like a project management, you know, template to be like, okay, before every meeting, like, here's to keep us on track. And other people were kind of missing that too. But it's like I handled it in a solution-oriented manner versus, like, you know, blowing everybody up going, I can't stand this anymore. You guys, like, you're totally circling around the topic and we never get anything done, which was really different than coming in and just saying, you know what would be really helpful for me?
Yeah, and also to add to that, what's huge about that too is you're talking about taking more of a positive, more of an appreciative inquiry kind of approach. So it's not pointing fingers. It's not looking at who's doing what, not complaining and this isn't right and da da da. It's more of looking at and surfacing what is possible.
Yeah.
And where are we trying to go?
Right.
And you can do that in all of them. Like going back to your example of where management would say, yeah, we want to get all of your opinions. But then when they started getting the opinions, they're like, no, we don't want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, you know, you can call it out. But instead of pointing the fingers of saying, well, here's our opinions. What can we do with these then?
Yeah.
You know, what is possible here?
Yeah. Or just even ask a clarifying question. A lot of times that can help. You know, I was, you know, when Kelly was kind of giving me that scenario or whatever, you know, we were talking through that. And I was like, you know what would have been great in that moment of just asking a clarifying question of like, that's a great idea. Can we clarify what that really means? When you say you want us to be able to have more honest, transparent conversations, what does that look like for you? Because your idea of what that looks like and my idea of what that looks like could be totally different. And, you know, sometimes in a group dynamic situation, you know, doing like really fun exercises to demonstrate something like that can be really useful so that everybody understands, like, clarifying what, you know, chocolate means to you and chocolate means to me is helpful, because you could be imagining a Hershey's bar and I'm imagining hot chocolate with, you know, whipped cream or whatever. Well, we're not talking about the same thing when we're talking about chocolate, you know, same. And that's an easy one. I mean, how easy is talking about chocolate? So think about, like, when we're all making assumptions that we think we're on the same page of what, like, you know, clear, transparent, honest conversation means. And that's totally different to you and me.
Nice. And that was a great point. And so we are wrapping up here with the Misha Rouser Show. And thank you again, Roz, for
thank you so much for having me. This was really fun.
It was wonderful. So again, we're going to be live every Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for listening to the Misha Rouser Show on Alternative Talk 1150. Join Misha during this hour every week, Tuesdays, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., as she takes you down a path toward achieving professional success while still having fun. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your colleagues. Misha helps people and organizations be successful, all while staying on a positive path. Tune in next week for the Misha Rouser Show.